We're talking this, we're talking that.
Hey, what are we talking about?
We're talking sex, not fiction, just facts.
Oh, man.
The freaky hookups that you just had.
It's gonna be good.
This ain't the birds and bees from mom and dad.
So, Gary, did you get home from the bar last night? And you want to get super kinky with me. What's up with that?
Hey, yo, Ken, I'm really trying to drive the ladies wild. Can you tell me what to do? Can you give me some skills, please?
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hi, this is Sex Chat with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Cat Van Kirk, clinical sexologist and marriage and family therapist. And I'm here with my wonderful man about town, my favorite gay boyfriend, Mr. Ross Martineau.
Hi there, Dr. Cat.
Hey, Ross. We're here to answer all of your sex and relationship questions from each of our perspectives.
Yes, you want us to answer your question? You can call the Dr. Cat 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week listener line. That's right, 7 days a week, people, anytime. 213-270-1968. Or you can email us. We are so available.
We are.
You can email us at sexchat@drcat.com. No excuses. Do it.
We're virtually promiscuous with everyone who calls or emails us.
Exactly.
We like to make contact in every way possible. And you can support us by supporting our sponsors. You can go to adamandeve.com right now and get 50% off almost any item, plus a free mystery gift and free shipping when you enter the code Dr. Cat at checkout. That's DRKAT. And
favorite words, Dr. Cat. Free.
Free.
F-R-E-E.
I was going to say, Dr. Cat or mystery gift or yeah, really any of those you can't go wrong with.
Exactly.
And you are actually my man about town because, hello, you're like L.A. correspondent this week.
I am L.A. correspondent. Actually, I took a really quick but wonderful trip to L.A. last weekend. You know, sort of caught the sights and sounds of the city, which I love in small doses, which works for me. But the biggest reason that I went there, actually, I went to the LA event for the Point Foundation. And I know that you know what the Point Foundation is, but I'm not sure our listeners do. The Point Foundation is this amazing organization that was actually celebrating its 10th anniversary this week or last week. And the Point Foundation is a scholarship program that actually provides scholarships to gay, queer, bi, transgendered youth that are meritous, so you've got to be a smartie, and who have been marginalized because of their sexual orientation. And
so the kids have been like thrown out of the house or whatever, or don't have any other family support, or.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And it was especially close to my heart because I was actually sort of a witness to the ground floor. So it was the Point Foundation was started by these two gentlemen, Bruce Lindstrom and Carl Strickland. Bruce, who I think was really one of the major impetuses behind it, was thrown out of his house, I think, at 15 16 when he came out of the closet. And his family didn't speak to him for over 15 years. His entire family, aunts, uncles, he came from a very evangelical sort of, you know, background, and had to really make his way in his own and put himself through school and became a very, very successful businessman. And decided that he wanted to give back. You know, he didn't want any other queer youth out there, you know, having to go through what he did. So he and his partner, Carl, started the Point Foundation. And the reason that I was partly witness to it was because I used to work at the John Pence Gallery in San Francisco, an amazing gallery. Check it out, johnpence.com. Anyway, John Pence, who was my boss, was a very good friend of Carl and Bruce, or is, and helped them get this off the ground. So they were accepting the Founders Award this year. So it was just great to sort of touch base with them and to see where they have come in 10 years. I think the pool of money now has grown. You know, I mean, I think it's their endowment, I think, is over about over $10 million, I
Holy
think.
Crap.
You know, somewhere around there. So, or maybe that's their goal. Anyway, they're doing really well. They have had, you know, countless amounts of Point scholars go through now. And this is a scholarship where, you know, largely they offer full boat. You know, wow. You are being put through college. Yeah. I mean, it's a rigorous application process, and it is for undergrad, graduate, and postgraduate. So it's not just, you know, the young ones that are there. And the really cool thing about the program also is that not only do they give the scholarships to these kids, but they also match them up with a mentor.
Oh my God, how fabulous.
Yeah, it's a really interesting and wonderful organization. If anyone would like to check it out.
Yeah, I was just saying, website.
Yeah, pointfoundation.org. So, of course, let's get to the really important part. Who was at the event? Okay. So not only were those three gentlemen being feted, but Point Horizon Award was being given to Travis Wall, Flutter in My Heart. For those of you who might know who Travis is, he was a dancer, runner-up of season 2, I believe, of So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, interesting, because I know the name, but I couldn't remember where I remembered it from. Okay.
Just so great. He's such a cutie, and he's all of 24 years old and just amazingly talented, and now choreographs for the show. And he was actually he was presented the award by Adam Shankman.
Okay.
So people might know him, director of Hairspray and, you know, some Broadway stuff. Yeah. So who else was there? Carson Kressley.
Oh, nice. So Carson made an appearance.
Formally, yes, it was like, honey, she'll go to the opening of an envelope. But lover, right? Now in Dancing with the Stars. But especially close to your heart, Kat, we had some True Blooders there.
Really?
Who yes, Anna Paquin.
No way.
Yes, and her husband.
Oh,
I forget. He plays on the show too.
Stephen, what's his name? I'm going to totally blank on it right now. But they both came.
They were both there, yes. So it was really great to see them in person. She's really lovely. She really is quite lovely, quite beautiful. And then at
Stephen Moyer.
There you go. That's exactly it. Yeah. And then at my table, I was actually lucky enough to actually sit next to one of the celebrity invitees, who was Sarah Rue. She's on a show called Rules of Engagement.
Okay.
And she used to be on another show. She had actually kind of had her own show. She used to be a little chunky, and now she just looks.
She's really slimmed down.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
I think she's also, she might be a spokesperson for Weight Watchers. Anyway, smart, funny, just really such a sweet, sweet person.
What was she drinking, darling? What was she drinking?
Well, you know what? She was actually a little later in the program. She said she's done this before. She said she's learned through experience that you don't start really until after done. So she stuck to water.
She's a pro.
She was a pro. Yeah. She was there with her husband, who was super sweet and just really a wonderful down to earth couple. I told them about the show, so hopefully they might be listening. So hey guys.
Hi there. Oh, that's great.
Anyway,
and what did you wear? What did you decide to wear to the
Well, you know, it was business attire, and luckily, you know, now that, you know, living in Hawaii, I got rid of a lot of my sort of more formal drag, as it were. I just wore, a blazer and a shirt and pants, but apparently I didn't get the memo that, like, the queer uniform these days is the dark suit.
Oh, really?
Like, it's like, hello, did someone die? I mean, literally, like, 90% of the people there were in dark suits, you know?
Oh, I mean, what kind of tie? Like, dark ties, too, or what? Like,
well, most people didn't wear ties. So business attire in L.A. means, you know, you're going to wear your suit and a shirt, but no tie.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, they're going to have to update the homosexual handbook and send it to Hawaii, because apparently I didn't get the new version.
Resubmit the guide. Well, and the other thing that I was really interested in is I'm a huge Muppet fan. It was at the Jim Henson, right? At his...
That's exactly it. Yeah, at the old... Well, I think it's still the current. Yeah, the Jim Henson Studios, where they film the Muppets. And it's great because... I don't remember where it is. Maybe it's on La Cienega. I don't know LA very well at all. But the gates to it, as you go through, there's a huge sculpture, you know, statue of Kermit in Charlie Chaplin drag. And partly because these were the studios where Charlie Chaplin made a lot of his films.
Oh, right. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I have to say, Kermit was like my little dream man as a child. So that might explain a lot.
Right. That might explain why you ask your husband to don green makeup every once in a while.
Right. Well, you know, the new Muppet movie's coming out too. So it's more just I have to close my eyes and have him put the voice on for me. So oh,
there you go. And I think he does a good Kermit, if I remember.
So. He does. He does a good Kermit. It's true. That and the good Dalai Lama for some reason, who is somebody else that I adore. So, you know, I can have sex with either one of them whenever I want.
There's a lot of role play going on over there.
It's a little scary. But also, I want to acknowledge and appreciate you, Ross. It's basically our 1 year anniversary of doing the show.
Wow. I can't believe it. Really?
I know. It really is. How crazy is that? We started last September.
No kidding. That is wild. Wow.
It's wild. And so I didn't get you an anniversary gift yet. I'm sorry, but I might have to have Adam and Eve throw a little extra gift into your goodie box that's coming to you. So
absolutely. Do it. Do it.
So happy anniversary, Ross. It's been a lovely year.
Thank you. It has. And here's to many more. And actually, and it's right on the heels. We're almost approaching our 50th episode too.
It's true. Yep. It's kind of coming up there. So, because there are like 2 weeks off, you know, a week here and there, but we've been pretty good. We've been committed. So it's been all good. And so we'll be right back after a quick 30-second break from our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hey there, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com and get 50% off just about any item. That's 50% off adult toys, lubes, movies, or almost anything you desire. Plus, get a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it here. And to top it all off, free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. Just type Dr. Cat for the offer code upon checkout. That's offer code DRKAT at AdamandEve.com.
So our first question here is from Michael. Michael has had an... Oh, I'm sorry. It's Michelle. Excuse me. Michelle
well,
had an
accident.
Right, exactly. Michelle had an accidental anal adventure. Ooh, I'm tingly. Michelle says, I had a question I was hoping you could answer. Tonight, my husband and I had anal sex for the first time. Hmm. Just before we were fooling around a little bit, and he was very erect. She says, I had some lube on my vagina and his penis accidentally slipped over my anus. Normally I'll joke, ooh, wrong hole, but I didn't. And he started to put it in. My question is this. He was slow and gentle, but there wasn't a lot of lube, but it didn't hurt at all. I was just wondering if this is okay and normal. I was not just relaxed, but extremely turned on. So I was wondering if this is a combination of how erect he was that made it so easy. We had tried in the past, but nothing really came of it because he could barely start and it hurt so bad he'd stop. Please help. Thanks.
Well, it doesn't sound like they need any help, but...
I was going to say, Michelle, there's no problem there. Yeah. It all sounds good.
It does, if you're looking for a little validation. So, you know, usually our disclaimer is lots of lube, start small, work your way up, go gently. But it is true. I mean, really probably the main key of the whole anal experience is if you can not only, number one, be relaxed so that your little, you know, all of our sphincters are very shy. And, you know, if you're not relaxed, the sphincters tend to close up. So the fact that you...
it's like a little clam.
Like a little clam, yeah. So the fact is, if you were not only relaxed, but heavily turned on, and he was quite erect, it's very, actually, for people who've either had anal before or for some people who have even had first anal experiences, that's not uncommon, because really your body's ready for it and willing and open to it. But I wouldn't say that people should expect that unconditionally. So
right, that's exactly. And we've talked about this before. You know, anytime that you're turned on, you have let go. And part of, you know, sort of any part of sex, whether it's ejaculation, when it's, you know, vaginal or anal insertion, it's like when you are relaxed, you are good to go.
Yeah, that's right. So kudos to you guys for going there and making the best out of an accidental situation.
Right. And Michelle, you know, may you be an example to, you know, many other women out there that you didn't freak out. It was like, you know, it was a happy accident and you kind of went for it. And it sounds like it worked out for both of you. So woohoo, A+.
That's right. Now you've got a whole other, you know, option on your repertoire and your list now that you can go there when you feel like you're ready and willing and able. So good job. And our next question is from Lorelai. Lorelai is loud and rowdy. She says, when I have sex with my partner, it's usually really easy for me to reach orgasm. And then after I do, I can have another one right after. However, when I do, it causes what seems to be an anxiety attack. I fight him and scream so loud, it's really embarrassing. I've even made him bleed. Ouch. It looks like he's been attacked by a cat. I've bruised him from pinching him. Sometimes I have to stop and walk away for a couple seconds while I catch my breath and calm down. We have kids, and I scream so loud I'm afraid I'm going to wake them up and scare them or something. I can't be the only one who experiences this, right? How do I fix it? And if I can't fix it, do you have any tips for me not to feel so embarrassed about it?
Wow, this is a new one in my repertoire. The first thing I would say, I would recommend is, you know, is to clip those fingernails.
Really? Let's focus on harm reduction technique, shall we?
Exactly. The first thing, you know, because part of it is like, you know, other than that, there's nothing wrong. You know, again, it's like, you know, where's the problem? I mean, it sounds like there's a little problem, but woohoo, multiple orgasms. You are taken out of body experience that, you know, I think many women would kill for or whatever.
Or just maim their partners for.
Right, exactly. So yeah, you know, trim those nails, and I don't know, maybe your husband gently placing a pillow over your face while you scream with pleasure. You could try soundproofing your room.
There's many options. Well, and it's not surprising, because we've talked about before too how all of our central nervous systems, you know, the pleasure pain response thing are really intertwined. And I think that also sometimes comes out in the expression of our sexualities, right? So, you know, when some people have talked about, you know, having really intense sexual experiences and, you know, a little bit of nibbling or biting or, you know, a little bit of the scratching and things like that, it's not unheard of. And for Lorelai, though, in particular, to have this kind of, you know, I find it interesting that she thinks it's an anxiety attack. And I'm wondering for you, Lorelai, is, you know, are you having shortness of breath with it or heart palpitations or anything funky like that that's making you feel ill? Because if you are, then you should definitely see a doctor about it. A medical doctor. But if you're not, it might just be your central nervous response to the high arousal that's happening. Right. And you're right. In that case, you know, do some of the harm reduction stuff that Ross was mentioning. I would say also too, that sometimes rather than the screaming, sometimes focusing on either like growling or even using your partner's hand or fingers in your mouth, things like that, in order to, you know, still get the expression out. But not
a ball gag.
Ball gags work. Your panties. Right. I don't know.
you know, basically it's like, you know, Michelle, you're what we call a screamer.
You're a screamer. Being a screamer is okay. I can't tell you how many women and men too, I have to say, actually, clients I've had of mine who have a really hard time verbally expressing during the course of sex. Like you could drop a pin, you know.
Right.
And it's like, it can be very repressive for some people, and you know, for their partners sometimes. It also doesn't mean anything's wrong with that either. It's just all how we're wired and how we've cognitively and behaviorally learned how to express ourselves. You know, the other option is if for some reason it was really causing a problem with shortness of breath or heart palpitations or something like that, and she wanted to get over it because it was so much of a problem, I would actually suggest you go see like a biofeedback therapist who would actually work with her on her behavioral responses to that stimuli. But I don't know. For me, it would have to be a huge issue for her to where it was interfering with her ability to function sexually, or was really upsetting to her family. And really, it doesn't sound quite to that extreme, does it, to you, Ross?
No, it doesn't at all. Yeah. And that would be the flip side, is that, you know, ultimately, a little screaming is okay, as opposed to like trying to find something that's going to repress your freedom. I mean, it sounds like you are just having a great time and love to express it. So.
And check in with your partner, check in with your husband, Lorelai, and like, make sure that he's, you know, he can deal. I mean, some guys find it really arousing. I like the badge of honor of having a few scratches and some bite marks. And you know what I mean? It's like, right. For some guys, that tells them that they're they're on the right track, you know, with whatever they're doing to you.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
So as long as
everyone's having a good time.
That's right. You know, and it's, you know, it's everyone's got a different way of expressing, and that is just yours. So.
Sing out, Louise.
Sing out, baby.
Okay, so our next question is from Dave, who has been sphinctified.
I think that's a new word.
Good one. So Dave's question for us is that he says he is unable to and never has experienced the rapid rhythmic contractions of the prostate, anal sphincter, and muscles of the penis. He says, honestly, I've never had one during masturbation as well, early in my teens, but did have a few nocturnal emissions. I'm in my mid-50s and can say I have had a wet dream around 51. What can or could help me experience this pleasurable pulsating sensation? The throbbing of the anal sphincter and travel to the tip of the penis. Hope you can be of some help, for I would like to experience the rapid contractions.
I find this interesting.
It is. I mean, is this like, you know, not to really simplify, is this a Kegel thing? Is this like just sort of a muscular, you know, work the muscle and it might do what you're looking for, or?
Well, a couple of questions. I mean, first of all, Dave, I want to be sure that we're reading the question. We're assuming, right, or I'm going to throw this out to you, Ross, that he's not talking about that he's not able to ejaculate. He's able to ejaculate.
Right.
Right. It is just, it sounds like he's looking for this kind of
avid sensation when a guy sort of starts to ejaculate, you can feel your ass squeezing and your prostate sort of pulsing. And it is generally an added experience to a male orgasm, certainly.
Right. Right. And it has to do with you're right, the pubococcygeus muscles, which they actually wrap in a figure eight around the base of the penis and around the anus. So that's all kind of connected there.
Okay. And, you know, I guess maybe start with, you know, maybe a little anal insertion and see if, you know, stimulating your prostate, either yourself or your partner, I don't know, man or woman, but and maybe that will kind of, you know, trigger more of a response from the prostate and the sphincter muscles and kind of get you to where you think you want to be.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good course of action. I think what he might want to experiment with is with a little bit of the anal stimulation, whether that's, you know, starting small with a finger or a small anal toy and a little bit of lube, and then also either he or his partner jacking himself off at the same time. Sometimes the dual stimulation really helps to kind of connect all those sensations together. And that might allow for him to have this kind of rapid rhythmic contraction that he's looking for. And it's hard to say, you know, because everyone's got their subjective experience of it, right? So I think he's just going to have to try it a couple different ways and see what works for him.
And I'm also wondering where this reference is coming from. Is it, Dave, is it something that you have had, you know, a partner or someone else talk about, like, oh, this is how it feels and you're feeling left out? Because part of me is thinking, you know, if you're having good orgasms, then, you know, you are looking for the cherry on the cake, and maybe that's worth, you know, sort of shopping around for, as it were. But otherwise, you know, everyone's body is their own, and some people, you know, have different orgasms, and hopefully you're the ones that you're having are good. You're just looking for something else. So.
That's right. Yeah. Don't judge the rest of your sexuality, whether, you know, or the rest of your sexual experience about just whether or not you can have this specific experience. I think it's great to get motivated to explore things, but you're right. It's like, if things are all good, enjoy what's working.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Last question is from Darren. Darren needs to know the down low on birth control. I'm a big fan, he says, and finally have a legitimate question. Did he have illegitimate questions before? I don't know. But he says his fiance, okay, my fiance and I are in our early 20s and have a fairy tale sex life. We have managed to tackle nearly every subject you've discussed. She didn't even believe in squirting before, but he made it happen, Ross. See?
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for you.
He says we've enjoyed anal on both sides, and we've even done some swinging successfully. They're quite advanced for their early 20s, I must say. Yeah. So he says his question, though, is about birth control. So his fiance, he says, was on the standard birth control earlier in their relationship, but they decided not to use it because she felt like it made her extremely emotional. He said he was never sure that that was true, but recently she decided to use it again and also became extremely depressed for no other reason. His question is this: is this common, and are there any ways to lessen the emotional side effects without having to take more pills? We know there are many alternative birth control possibilities, but they are practically scary from the warnings on the commercials. What are the most viable alternatives on a low budget? And he says he wishes he could take a pill, but as far as he knows, that isn't approved yet. You are correct there, my dear. Is there anything else he can do? He says our sex is safer, but it isn't as good if she doesn't want to have sex. I hear you, brother.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always the old-fashioned condom.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's one thing that, Darren, that you can do to be proactive about this if she wants a little break from taking anything herself. So you can't take a pill, but you can use a condom. So
and with spermicide, I would say if they want the extra birth control, you know, extra layer of protection with the condom.
Okay. And then this is probably more of your arena, Kat, because but I do know that someone, you know, that I work with recently had, isn't there like an underskin birth control method that you can take? It's implanted, you know, it's under your skin. It sounds radical, but
yeah, there used to be the Norplant, but they actually took that off the market. I don't think they've reintroduced that since then, but there are lots of options. And the main issue here is that he's talking about hormonal birth control methods, right? So anytime you're introducing hormones to somebody's body, and it's usually kind of the interplay of the estrogen, progesterone thing that's happening with women there. I have heard of this before. Some women just don't metabolize or take as well to the hormone mixtures. And I have to say that, I mean, all the birth control out there now, all the hormonal methods out there are really low dosage. You know, it's not like back in the 70s where, you know, you didn't know quite what you were even getting part of the time. But it does seem to have a lot to do with the modality and the way that the hormones are assimilated into the woman's body. So if she's been taking it orally, which is standard birth control, I assume that's what he means by that, like she's taking a pill, right? For some reason, that's not working well for her. Well, there's definitely the Depo-Provera injection, which, you know, lasts for 90 days. And then there's also, you know, granted, it doesn't sound like she's had a child yet. And there are definitely some other issues she'd have to be qualified for. But if you know that you don't want to be pregnant for a good 5 to 10 years, a good option for her might also be an IUD. And there are IUDs with hormones and without hormones. So she might be a good candidate for perhaps an IUD without a hormone, as long as she doesn't have
why is it?
Go ahead.
Why is it for 5 or 10 years?
It's just, that's just however long that you can actually keep it in your uterus for, you know, however long that it's active and it's working for. So
I see. So if you decide to use an IUD, you're not automatically, you cannot have kids for 5 to 10 years.
Oh, right. Well, what it's saying is that as long as it's inserted, that's how long it works for. Then once you have your provider take it out, some women become pregnant immediately. And it's very similar to the pill in that it works 98-99% of the time. Really, the IUDs have enjoyed, you know, a resurgence in people really being interested in being happy with that as a method. And talk about, like, you know, on a budget. You can get them really cheaply. Sometimes you can get them practically for free through like Planned Parenthoods and things like that. And they work. eBay, right? Somebody's used IUD, the self-insertion. Yeah, do not self-insert. You need to have a medical provider do it. And there are also some things like you can't have problems with infections and things like that. This isn't a good, those types of people who have issues with vaginal or uterine infections aren't good candidates for them. But for the majority of the rest of the population, actually, it's a really low cost, easy way to not get pregnant. So give that a shot.
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Gay take, straight take. It's the featured toy of the week.
So let's see. It's Gay Take Straight Take Toy of the Week.
Yay!
And I think this is really funny. It's called the Rockstar Tina Vibrator.
I love it. I looked it up. And it's great. It's sort of a royal blue. So there's the rock star, but it's got like a little band of bling on it.
It does. It's very blingy. I automatically think of American Idol. What can I say?
I was thinking more like Tina Turner. It's like, oh, now I know how she gets those dance moves.
Right, oh my God. Yeah, she's walking around with one of those in her cooch. So let's see. So the deal is it's 7 inches in total length, 4 inches insertable vibrator. It's got a graduated shaft, so they're kind of these little bulbs on it, which I really like. It's silicone, which is the preferred material, I think, for most people. Yeah. Multi-vibration, and it's waterproof, which is awesome. And supposed to be more on the quiet side, which a lot of people ask, like, you know, I want a quieter vibrator. What do you suggest? This is actually supposed to be really good for that. And you could probably put it on a chain and wear it to the club. So, hey.
There you go. Right. Exactly. Right. Around your neck. Yeah. You know, if you could dip it in glow, you know.
Oh, my God. Glow stick.
Make it glow. Yeah, exactly. Make it a glow stick. Crack it. Put it on your twat. The other thing that I love, too, is that they describe it as sassy.
Oh, right. And who doesn't like a vibrator that's described as being sassy?
Exactly. As long as it doesn't talk back, sister.
That's right. You only got to say the things you want to hear, just in a sassy sort of way. But anyway, I dug it. I thought it was cool. I like the fact that it's a little bit different, a little blingy, and it's waterproof. So you can find it at adamandeve.com, and it's called the Rockstar Tina Vibrator. And you might even be able to use the code on it. Who knows? Give it a shot.
Exactly.
Cool. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today on our fabulous anniversary.
Yay, happy anniversary. And again, you have questions, we have answers. You can email us at sexchat@drcat.com. And as always, we want to hear from you. We love to be reviewed. Thumbs up, thumbs down, good or bad. We're helping, we're not. This is what you should have said. Give us some feedback. We'd like to hear back from you. And don't forget to subscribe to Sex Chat with Dr. Cat in iTunes.
Yes, please, please. And we also, I've got my little video podcast, The Daily Sex Tips from Hawaii in iTunes. Check out that out as well. And you can find it on YouTube also at 365 Sex Tips. And I've updated my blog on Dr. Cat. I do need to do some more updating, but please feel free to go on there and peruse the archives. And check it out, drcat.com.
I think I'm going to go have a slice of anniversary cake.
Aw, thanks. I know we should have a little picture with us swapping with each other a little cake, you know, thing. I won't smash it in your face, I promise, though.
Okay.
Not this time. Great. Bye, thanks,
Dr.
everybody.
Cat.
Bye.
Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.